was a little awkward for the big guy. It was just a little awkward. So I'm gonna call him.
Did they put a cast on him or they just wrapped him up?
They wrapped him up.
Welcome to GMFC Studios, God's production company.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God bless you. It's my honor to welcome you to another episode of Coffee with the Bishop. I'm your host, Bishop Roy Jesse Lyseth, pastor of Grace and Mercy Fellowship Center here in the city of Columbus, Ohio. And I am elated. I am so excited to have in the studio with me none other than the playwright herself, Minister Darlene Carson, and one of the cast members of a play that she has written that's going to really touch on some things that are essential to our community, and that's none other than Brian Bowman. And we're excited to sit down and talk with them about this play. I have to put this plug in. You're going to hear me say this several times tonight. You have to go out and support this effort. I'm telling you, this is something you've got to go see. It's going to be at the Lincoln Theater on East Long Street here in the city of Columbus. It's premiering at 7 p.m. on the 28th of June. So it's just a few days away. And out of their busy schedule, they're taking time to come in and talk about it. I hope that you are able to see the vision that is being displayed as they begin to just tell you about this great work. So without further ado, let me just say this. You can get tickets to see this. I'm not going to tell you to do something I didn't do myself. I was trying to get front row seats, but some folks beat me out. So I got second row seats. But I'm going to be right there screaming and yelling and just giving God glory for the work that he is doing in this cast and in this playwright. But you can get those tickets at www.cbusarts.com, and you just search Cross, C-R-O-S-S, and it'll come up and you'll see it's playing at the Lincoln Theater again right here in the city of Columbus. So without further ado, it's my honor to just introduce to you none other than the Venerable Minister Darlene Carson and Mr. Brian Bowman. Darlene, why don't you introduce yourself for the people?
Certainly. Thank you for having me, first of all, Bishop. And my name is M. Darlene Carson, and I'm a playwright and producer for Words to Life Drama Ministry. I am an elder in my church. I am a wife and mother, and I am a visionary with a message. I'm definitely a storyteller.
Amen, amen. And Brian, why don't you just give the people a little bit of some info on you?
How you doing, everybody? My name is Brian Bowman, and I am a writer, actor, entrepreneur. I'm a playwright myself, and I am just ecstatic to be here.
Amen. It is wonderful to have you guys here with us in the studio, and I have to just say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come down here to be with us. Darlene, if you could do me a favor and just give me an idea as the playwright and producer of Cross, what it is that has inspired you to create a play that's centered around the impact of gun violence on families, youth, and the community. Because as we have experienced here in the city of Columbus, just the other day, 10 people were shot that had just gathered together to just enjoy life and to enjoy some time and fellowship. And 10 people in that one instance were shot. One of them is still critical, from my understanding. And this isn't the first shooting that we've had in the city of Columbus. And sure enough, not the first shooting that's going on in cities around the United States.
Certainly. I really got a unction from God several years ago when I was sitting waiting for my husband to come out of the store, and I looked at a memorial that had been set up for a young man who was killed by gun violence. And so in my spirit, the story came, and I began to write the story, and that was some 10 years ago. And I didn't approach it because I thought, this is so heavy. This is going on in this community and other communities, and there was so much controversy around whether you should carry a gun, who had the right to carry a weapon, is it for protection? Young people were being shot, mothers were crying, and it just touched my heart. But I wasn't brave enough to approach the subject. But as time passed, I just felt a burning within that the story had to be told. So I decided to be obedient to the unction of the Spirit and finish the production, the play. And so I have a lot of family members who have been touched by gun violence. I have friends who are crying, and I thought, this is a way for me to tell a story, and I'm not trying to give a solution to gun violence, but I want to offer the cross as a way to get to a solution to gun violence with love and forgiveness.
Amen. That is truly powerful. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And gun violence is definitely something very tough to deal with. We often hear about the violence that's portrayed in many cities within the United States and around the world, and we always hear the political initial uproar only to have it die down until the next shooting. Everyone's offended, everyone's up in arms, and we have to do something, but then no one does something. So I applaud you for taking time out to listen to the Spirit of God, to take this challenge on and try to get people to begin to think about something different that can open doors to saving lives. How did you go about researching and gathering information on the subject of gun violence in and of itself? Because I know that you want this play to not just be a play where people are just acting and there's no authenticity to it, but I know you, and I know that you are going to bring some authenticity to what we experience and somehow tie it in so that it is relevant to the current conversation.
Certainly. I did research based upon talking to people in the particular positions, because within the play, you'll find that there is a character representation of city leaders, of a mother who has lost a child, of someone who carries a gun to protect themselves, of someone who was raised in the streets and knows nothing but gun violence. So I wanted to portray all of the sides of the story. And what I did was talk to people in those shoes. I talked to police officers. I talked to a mother who had lost a child. I talked to people who felt like they should be able to carry a gun. And I talked to all of those who have been affected by gun violence. That was the way that I researched it. But I also researched the word to find out what is the word saying about protecting yourself. What kinds of situations or contrasts can we come from the word with to share with people so that they can at least find a way to come to some type of a thought that will help to encourage them, that will help to bring them from the space that they are or to the truth that they need to find to be able to be released or be at peace regarding what's going on in the community.
I can only imagine, especially when you're going to talk to people who have dealt with gun violence, and unfortunately, people that have had to deal with gun violence, it's not just that someone shot at them, but it involves the loss of life, the loss of someone that they care about and they love. Did you face challenges when, you know, you were trying to talk about such a sensitive and timely topic. You know, how did you navigate all of that and still exercise your creativeness to bring something that can be relevant to us?
Well, one of the things that, you know, I tried to make clear was because even in within the production, we use guns. We wanted it to be the reality of what people are facing every day. So we wanted to use guns, but we didn't want people to think, hey, we're just out here playing, you know, playing and telling jokes and having fun with guns. But it was used for purpose. And the purpose was to tell the story of everyone. Because, you know, we could have a one-sided story and we could weigh it so that it is on our side. But we wanted everyone's side to be shown so that we could show what God's side is. So the contrast between what the story is and what the expectation of the cross, of what the cross symbolized, was peace, love, and forgiveness. And so there were there are different situations within the production that lend itself to the story of the cross and what Christ went through when he had to go to the cross. So we put those kind of contrast within the story so that people could understand how what we're going through right now is things that you're going to have to go through in order to have the life that you want to have. In order to have peace, in order to have love, you're going to have to suffer some type of a tragedy in your life. And it may not be gun violence, but it may be hurt. It may be because you lost someone. But what we wanted to do in our approach was to be able to give people an authentic story. And we wanted people to go away thinking. We wanted people to get in the conversation. Because a lot of times, just like me, when I wrote it, I'm like, I don't want to be in the conversation. I'm going to sit here on the sideline, and I'm not going to do anything but pray. But what we have to do is we all have to get involved. We all have to decide that we're either going to have conversations that come to, that bring solutions or bring peace or spread love so that we're able to get past what we need to get past in order to save our children, to save our community. We have to all be involved. It's not just for the city leaders. It's not just the police officers. It's all of us. And so I kind of approached it from the standpoint of everybody is the answer.
Well, that's actually really important that we realize we can't push it off on somebody else to fix.
Right.
We have to be actively involved. Brian, you know, you're the antagonist, okay, in this story. How did you approach portraying a character involved in gun violence while at the same time still highlighting all the underlying factors that contribute to these types of actions?
Again, to retouch on what Ms. Carson has said, we all have to get involved. So I actually run a staffing agency, and I try to employ as many younger individuals and talk to those individuals and, you know, try to be a mentor to them or whatnot. And because I know where they come from, those troubled individuals. I was a troubled individual once upon a time myself. So, and that helped me to get into character, and I know that the Lord put me right here in this place to be able to take some of my past experiences and put them into this character to make it believable and hopefully shock some of the individuals that can relate to this character or whatnot and let them know what the damage that they are causing. So I... in so many words, I tried to, due to the fact that I had to be the antagonist, then I want to talk to the other antagonists that may be in the audience. And hopefully those are the ones that I can get to and lead them down a different path.
Hey man, that's actually a wonderful way to address some of the things that we're dealing with. Sometimes we don't realize the things that we do until we see somebody else doing them.
Right.
I can only imagine this is definitely a sensitive subject, and it touches really deep, and unfortunately it touches deep within our own community. Did you face challenges while, you know, you were kind of preparing for this role and trying to get things into, you know, focus for you so that you could, you know, bring something that was so real that it would have that impact? Were there any challenges or anything that really hit home to you?
Most definitely. I've played bad guys before, but this character is just evil, pure evil. So much to the point that in order to get into character, I had to distance myself from some of the other cast members, which I hated, and I hope they don't think that I'm a diva or whatnot. But, you know, they would be running lines together, and I'd be over in the corner by myself because I really had to, once I walked through the door, act like I didn't like these characters, which is so far from the truth. So any interaction with them, I wouldn't be able to go to that place where that character, you know, to deliver that character. But I prayed about it, and I prayed not to get stuck there because it's a pretty dangerous place to go. And I talked to the Lord about it, and we came to an agreement that he would help me get through this and be able to deliver a stellar performance, hopefully.
Amen. You know, this month is what has been coined as Gun Violence Awareness Month. Darlene, can you talk about the significance of staging a play during a month like this, and how you believe it will contribute to the ongoing conversation and hopefully address the issue of gun violence in our community?
Certainly. I chose to do this in Gun Violence Awareness Month because the conversation is open. And when I say it's open, prior to Gun Violence Awareness Month and after Gun Violence Awareness Month, all people are talking about is the shootings. You know what I'm saying? They're talking about what happened. You're looking at the victims. You're looking at all of those different things. The conversation is happening during Gun Violence Awareness Month when people's minds are on it, when their media is wrapping it up and telling about it. I wanted to like ease it into that conversation so that it could possibly be more prevalent as far as trying to find solutions to it. So I wanted it to be within the media so that people are paying attention and listening. And then, you know, we could open up more conversation. We could talk about it more, possibly reach out to others, community leaders, to groups that are facing different or actually doing different things to make people aware of it. So I wanted to be a part of that and making sure that, you know, we are having conversations as well. And to actually Words to Life Drama Ministry, we, as a drama ministry, we want to be on the, within the conversation and talking to people about things that matter. It's not just about entertaining people. It's about a message that needs to happen in our community. And so I wanted to just make sure that we are involved in what the solutions may be.
Amen. Let me ask you this, because sometimes when we're passionate about something, we can unfortunately become biased about the thing that we are passionate about. We get a narrow view and we see things only the way we want to see them. How, as a playwright and a producer, are you able to produce a production that is inclusive of all the diversity of opinion and all the different ideas that surround this, from, you know, the extremes to the middle of the road. You're going to find all kinds of things when you talk to people about a subject like this. How did you find that medium in the middle to kind of tie it all together and make this work?
Absolutely. The way I did it was, I just remembered that it wasn't about me. And as long as I remember that it's not about me, it makes me open to listen to other people's concerns and conversations around the subject matter. So if I'm listening to other people in the conversation and making space for them to be able to share whatever it is that is important to them within the conversation, it's easier for me to be able to tell the story because I take me out of it. All I do is just get the information, talk to people, and then I pray and I just ask God to give me, because, you know, I'm having to write the dialogue. So it was difficult to write the dialogue because, you know, there are back and forth exchanges and there are people who have strong opinions about certain things. And so I have to be able to say, okay, how can I include all of these different opinions to be able to have everyone to coherently tell a story that helps the audience to see everybody's side? Because I want everybody's side to be heard. Because the only way that we're going to be able to come to some kind of solution or anything is that we hear each other. But a lot of times we get so caught up in our own thought process that we don't hear what other people are saying or what they are feeling. And so that was really important to me, was to be able to include everybody's truth. And don't get me wrong, because we all know that there's only one truth. But, you know, everybody,
amen,
everybody think they have their own, so we're going to let them have their own. So I let that be the case and then created the story based upon the leading of God. And I promise you, it took me a long time to write this story because I did struggle with how to present it in a way that people wouldn't be offended or that made sure that everybody's story was told.
Amen. Let me just ask the both of you this, and you can tag team each other and how you respond to this. But obviously, you're doing this because you're trying to do something to address gun violence. So, what is it that you are hoping that the audience takes away from Cross in terms of understanding, empathy, action, relationships to, you know, the issue of gun violence itself? What is it that you're trying to accomplish as a playwright? And Brian, what are you trying to accomplish? And what do you want the audience to take away from you as the antagonist in this story?
Well, that's a rough one. I just want to assist with the story. I don't think it's much that a Jude's character can be looked up to about. I just want to do my part in assisting Ms. Carson display her message, and hopefully, not from my character, but from the actual story itself, that people will see the trickle-down effect of gun violence and how it affects everyone involved, from the person in front and behind the trigger. It has a huge effect on them. So that's what I hope that everyone gets from the story, is you know, how it affects us all, and that we have to stop. I have 11 grandchildren from the ages of 17 and 5. And I worry every day about all of them. It's just hard being at this age right now. And for all the youngsters that may be out there doing whatever they do, you're going to get to this age and you're going to worry. Hopefully you'll get to this age. And when you do, you're going to worry. And you're going to see that your actions right now is useless, is futile. Some of them, you know, those violent actions right now, you never escape them. And it comes back to haunt you one way or the other. And as I was stated earlier, you have family members, even if it doesn't come and get you directly, you have family members that you'll end up mourning or just worried sick about every time they leave the door. So, something, I grew up in the 80s and right around the time of the crack epidemic when violence was, pretty high, and I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, so you know how that is. But, as an older individual now, just looking at it for all these years and how it just got worse and worse and worse, and, being an older individual and sometimes being afraid of the individuals that's supposed to take care of us, the youth, if you see a lot of individuals in front of a store, I might try to keep going until I see a drive-thru or something. It shouldn't be like that. We just had maybe 10 shootings over the weekend. It makes you not want to go nowhere. I have a cousin in Detroit who was at a park, and the mother of his 7 children was just gunned down by a hail of stray bullets. She was just there with her children at the park. And now he has custody of all those children. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And as the older you get, you see more and more, and it just hurts more and more. It really, really hurts. So I hope I didn't stray too far away from the original question.
Oh, no.
But my actual character, I don't know. But the actual message of the story, I hope we all get it. And, I know this story won't completely stop it, but hopefully it will touch. If it touches one person, I'll be happy. If one person is touched and decides to change their ways or their actions, then I'll be happy.
Amen. Darlene?
I feel, what's what they always say, I feel some type of way. I feel some type of way about gun violence in our community. And I say specifically our community, because I look at our young people and see, how they seem to have no empathy, or they just don't have a direction. And I would like for this production to help our community to spend more time with our young people, to be more, to be more concerned about our community as an African American community. We have to go back to how Mama Nim used to be and pay attention to our children, watch over them, teach them how to handle their anger, because it's just a lot of anger. I think it has a lot to do with our young people being angry, and they don't know how to handle their emotions because we haven't taken enough time to teach them how to handle their emotions. So I would like for our youth to be touched more so, because I'm tired of seeing my friends crying about it. So if we could just leave that auditorium, that theater, with a thought process on how we as individuals, what will you do? One of the sayings in one of the promos that I did was regarding the cross, because you see everybody with a cross around their neck. And is it just a symbol of fashion, or you can wear it, but can you bear it, was what the statement was. And so I would like to see us look at the cross in a different way. And when we go out into our communities, be the symbol that we got hanging around our neck of love and forgiveness, of teaching our young people, of looking at each other in a different way and being able to solve our problems with our words, with our conversation. My ministry is Words to Life Drama Ministry because words bring life. John 1:1, the word brings life. So what I would like to see is us be more attentive to having relationships with one another and solving problems with conversations and not with guns.
Amen. Thank you really so much for sharing. I can feel your emotion and how much this means to the both of you. And I'm really looking forward to being there this Friday. And I have to encourage the audience. Please, if you're local to the city of Columbus, if you're here on Friday, please do everything you can to come see this. We have a bad habit as human beings of trying to just ignore things. We have this, and we logically know it's not going to work, but we still do it. If we ignore something, the hope is that it'll just go away or take care of itself. But we understand that that's just simply not truth. Here's an opportunity for you to come Friday evening to the Lincoln Theater. Bring a loved one, a family member, a friend. Bring your church. Bring your community. Let's support this work. This playwright, Darlene Carson, is pouring herself out into this production. And all of the cast members, Brian Bowman leading the way, are pouring themselves out to hopefully influence change in our community. We will never be able to achieve the heights that are possible if we continue to remain divided, because nothing that is divided can stand. We have to unite. We have to come together. We have to allow ourselves to be inspired by works like this. So I encourage you, go to www.cbusarts.com and listen. Purchase a ticket. Purchase many tickets. And bring some people with you and come see this play and allow it to be a blessing to you. Take this opportunity, even if you can't be here, to support this work so that other things can also be done to continue the conversation, to open doors, to allow access into rooms that maybe we wouldn't have ever had access to before. Just support it as best you can. Darlene, Brian, thank you so much for being here with us. And to the audience and those that are watching, God bless you. May the Lord keep you in His peace. And may you never have to deal with gun violence.
This has been a production of the GMFC Studios. God bless you.